today is World Mental Health Day, and we're expecting, we told you that we were expecting some guests from WHO and also the National Minister of Health. And as we say that this is one of the biggest stories we are focusing on today, so we shine the light on a theme that resonates deeply across our communities affected by crisis, which is access to services, mental health in catastrophes and emergencies. And the National Mental Health and Psychosocial Support Technical Working Group adapted the theme to access to mental health services during crisis and also emergencies. So in times of war, displacement, floods, or any kind of crisis, one thing that often gets forgotten is mental health. When people are struggling to find food, shelter, or safety, the pain they carry inside, the fear, the grief, and the trauma can easily be overlooked. So today on the program, we are talking about how important it is to take care of mental health, even in the middle of crisis. So joining us in the studio, we have Dr. Atong Akol, Director of Mental Health Department at the National Minister of Health. Dr. Atong, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much, listeners of Radio Mireya. I'm Dr. Atong, and nice to meet you here.
Yes, and yes, thank you, and welcome to Radio Mireya. We are also joined by Dr. Moses Mutebe. He's the team lead at the World Health Organization. We are glad to have you here this morning, Dr. Moses.
Nice to have me here. Good morning, all those out there listening to this radio talk show.
Yes, thank you all of you for coming to Radio Mirai to have this important conversation. Let me start from Dr. Atong. Help us understand why mental health is crucial in emergencies, and it becomes also part of responses to a crisis.
Generally, mental health is a lifeline need that is always gone neglected. So people don't remember it usually. So this is a normal setting of life. Now, coming to crisis now, when be it a natural one or a man-made one, this is one of the most neglected part of it. And in statistics, almost one in each five had problem with mental health during crisis. And it's almost everybody, when they go through difficulties, they have issues with their emotion and their social and their psychological problems. Mm. Although a lot of people get well by themselves, but we need to assess the need during crisis in most of the time.
Mm.
Yeah.
And what can you tell us about the current state of mental health in South Sudan? Are we okay or we are not okay?
We are not that much okay, mm-hmm. but we are not that bad because we moved from far. The gap is huge. Patients' number is increasing. We have a lot of crisis and ongoing displacement and ongoing issues, be it a man-made one or be it a natural one, floods and things. We have a very scarce human resource in the whole country. We have three... a psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm. Across the country?
Yes. For the 12 million population, we are three psychiatrists. Mm. And we have the psychologist. We have a good number of them, but not enough also. It's like less than 30 psychologists in the whole country.
Mm.
We are doing the task shifting with WHO, which is integration of mental health into PHCs, so we make sure that people get services where they are, and this is the theme of the year, access of services.
Mm-hmm.
So we are teaching others how to be able to diagnose and, manage the basic one and creating a referral pathway. And this is how the technical working group has been doing this job.
Mm.
And one good news is we will very soon launch the first national strategic plan that will guide us in the country, how can we make use of the small resources that we have, because we really had issues with funding when it comes to mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And we understand that there are key drivers of poor access to mental health. What are those key drivers? Why people cannot access? You integrate it into the package that people go to the hospital. If they access physical health, physical services or health services, they can also access mental health. But yeah. People are saying still they cannot get enough. What is the problem?
One foremost is the our cultural belief pertaining to mental health, because people think mental health is not a medical problem, so they don't go to hospital, and that was the reason why we have the Mental Health Day, to increase awareness about mental health, because people believe that when you have fever, a symptom that people can see, this is an illness, but mental health symptoms are usually not that much touch. It's changing in behavior, changing emotion, so we can't test to get it. So with this one, people tend to come late to get the services. And the other thing is the social stigma that is around mental health, be it patients or professions. We do have that stigma around it. Add to that the under numbers of professions, and the fragmented health services, health system, that some of them could even know and went to the hospital, but they don't get the service to the maximum because they could get the diagnosis, but they don't have medicine. One of the problems of mental health is that the medicines are so costly, and a few of them are part of the essential list, and it's not enough. So even if patient is diagnosed, there will be an issue of where to get the medication. And if they get the medication, the sustainability will become another issue.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes, let me bring in Dr. Moses, WHO, together with other UN organizations like IOM, international organizations and nationals. You are one of the key stakeholders working together with Ministry of Health. What efforts are you making to ensure access to mental health services are improved and are made visible in this country?
Okay. Thank you once again, and good morning, listeners. Actually, WHO is making significant efforts together with our partners and, of course, with the leadership of Ministry of Health in this country. But particularly, WHO leads in providing technical assistance on mental health in emergencies. And also, we've worked alongside the Ministry of Health to implement to start with in the development of the National Mental Health and Psychosocial Support Action Plan. As Dr. Tong said, we are launching it very soon, and it will really go up to 2029. I think that will be a huge milestone. WHO is also an active member of the Technical Working Group on which many of partners, including the leadership of IOM, is. Whereby this platform, the Technical Working Group, helps in strengthening coordination, and also WHO works collaborates with standby partners, a network that rapidly deploys technical experts to countries such as South Sudan with complex emergencies, and also WHO, we've been part of the development of at least a minimum services package for mental health, and also integrating it in the larger non-communicable disease package, which is the PEN-M, to see that we deploy these services to the most basic areas of service delivery, like primary health care. And this is used to really improve the scale and quality of emergency mental health responses as well. And also WHO, as Dr. Tong said, also we've supported in terms of capacity building on mental health. And this helps in preparedness, disaster risk management, etc. And also we've worked closely with the Ministry of Health and partners also in terms of making sure that the information pertaining to mental health is actually is obtainable, and it can be reported for our planning and decision making but as well as for global use. Thank you.
Now, thank you, Dr. Moses. Talking about the issue of access to services, people complain that there are no specific facilities meant for mental health problems or conditions. People have to travel outside the country to access the services, and it is more expensive. Many people are suggesting that a facility like Juba Teaching Hospital or Al-Sabah Hospital meant for children, Juba or South Sudan supposed to have a facility meant only for mental health issues. Like in Khartoum, we have Tijani Mahikan, people with mental health issues. We know they are kept there. Services are there. Doctors are there. Everything you want is there. What are you doing to ensure that we have or you advocate for a certain facility like this in South Sudan?
Okay. So partly the roadmap or the national strategic plan that we are launching very soon address the issue of the need for the for having facilities for mental health. But on the other hand, we are type of a community that already had issues with stigma and, you know, social discrimination. So we were thinking of integrating mental health into the bigger facilities, like what we have now in Juba Teaching Hospital. We have a department for mental health where we're providing services where people are admitted and seen and taken care of within the normal context of the main hospital. This costs two things. It helps in reduction of stigma. And number two, it helps us in the what we call, if we are to name it, like a one-stop center for everyone. Because the one that has mental problem, she could be pregnant. And the one that has mental problem could have hypertension. And he could be, for instance, having diabetes or anything. So there is a need for a holistic approach that when they need the mental health care and when they need the non-mental health care, they get it at the same place. That's why we are working more towards integrating it into the physical existing centers. So we make sure that you go through one door, you take all what you need, and you go out. So there is no increase of stigmatization.
Right.
As you say, in Khartoum, we have a Tijani El-Mahi, but now when you go to Tijani El-Mahi, even if you are using the Mwasalat that go through that Tijani El-Mahi, then people will look at you strangely. And when you ask that you're stepping down in Tijani El-Mahi, it's around the hospital, everyone in that bus will look at you to make sure that you're not entering that door. So it was a little bit, in a way or another, stigmatizing. And this could cause access to service get difficult.
Okay. Another question is, as you mentioned, that some families here, they believe that mental health issues are caused by witchcraft sometimes. And some of them, they believe it is curses or inherited within a family. So how can communities be educated to understand that mental health issues are real medical conditions that people like this need to be taken to hospital to access services?
One of the things that we do when we started earlier, we do the community outreach where we go outside there, because we do have the traditional healers and the community leaders. They trust them and they listen to them more than us. And that's why we have the integration of mental health into the existing community programs. So we normalize the issue of mental health when it comes to communities. So when we have youth safe areas or women safe areas or children safe areas, they need to know that part of me being healthy is being mentally well. And we are integrating integrating mental health into schools. So improving people's perception when it comes to mental health, that this is how it is. And we are also integrating it into curricula of other undergrad schools. And we make sure that we engage the community leaders, the spiritual leaders, the traditional healers. So we all speak the same language. That we don't say that what they are doing in the community is not right or it is wrong, because we don't know what are they doing. But we believe that if we put a hand into that one, we're going to make a difference.
Right. Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Atong. Let me bring in Dr. Moses. How can family and friends identify early signs that their loved one are struggling with some mental or emotional problem, and therefore they need to support them or take them to where they can get support?
Thank you so much. Really, As Dr. Atong said, I think normalizing the service, I think, is quite important. Mm-hmm. And integrating mental health in all what we do is quite important. For us as health, we have all these, health is multidimensional, but mental health is part and parcel of health. And really at every juncture and opportunity, whether it's families, whether it's at a health facility level, whether it's community, we should take the opportunity to actually integrate health. I mean integrate mental health and take the opportunity to actually assess our family members and individuals, friends, to for mental health problems. But first and foremost, as I said, it's integration. Mental health and psychosocial support should be an integral of all sectors at the lowest level, whether it's at family level, but also at the larger sector level, whether it is in planning for emergencies, whether it is delivering regular health services, etc. And therefore, even when you are enrolling children to school or whatever, or every opportunity that you take, you should actually also assess for mental health. What we're advocating for as WHO is also to see that all our health workers are actually also capacitated and they are trained, because I think Dr. Tong said that, I think in the beginning, that I think the issue is lack of skills and knowledge of our health workers, of our family members. So we should create awareness on what would be the anomalies. We should allay stigma and issues related to that. We should also make sure that we create the links. We should create the links from the family to the health facility, but also to the tertiary levels, whereby you have at least the health specialists. We have few in this country. As you said, we have just three psychiatrists. But I mean, if you at least establish the referral networks and then also create awareness in the communities at up to family level and also capacitate the health workers, I think mental health conditions can be identified at all levels. And also if you ensure integration in all sectors and in all what we do, I think it is it would be quite good, at least to see to it that we identify mental health conditions and psychological problems as early as possible.
Right, one more thing I would like to ask before we conclude the interview is about health workers. We have lost many health workers and health professions because of the high level of stress and trauma and the working conditions that they are in. So what support system are in place to protect their own mental health so that they care for others?
Yeah, actually, it is one of our key areas in our strategy, and we know that there's a humanitarian staff challenge whereby it is not only capacity, but the health workers at least also face delivering services. These services that in places that are really are quite challenging, and they are overwhelmed by the overload that is there in the communities we serve. So the first attention is also to see to it that we attend to our health workers, not in terms of just only building their capacities, but also to see that we attend to their mental health conditions and also social and physical and psychological aspects for services and of course issues regarding remuneration. I think quite key. Yes. And Dr. Tong, I think, is ready to hear that. I think that one is something that I think we should attend to, such
yes,
that
Dr.
we are more holistic.
And then in addition to what Moses says, we already had the staff care in place. Mm-hmm. Where we have what we call mind body medicine. Mm-hmm. It's a new science, and it have a group of skills that we teach the staff. It's not only working for doctors, mm-hmm. but for everyone. Mm. We believe that the workplace is an area that where people go to stress of different variations. So in our strategic plan, we are advocating that we have a part of what we call staff care, mm-hmm. that it is integrated across all the institutions and people could adopt it. We have a group of expertise that are ready to teach the skills to your staff, so you will be able to use it every day and make sure that you improve your mental health.
Right.
Currently, we are working with a center in Tongping, Ismu Revital Wellness Center. Mm-hmm. It's a center that do physiotherapy and psychology. So because sometimes people don't want to see us in Juba Teaching Hospital, you know, they don't like being seen in public.
Yes.
So we are now putting that center in place. So whoever wanted to have the mind-body medicine skills mm-hmm. of how to handle their stress and how to help themselves, we are providing it in that wellness center. It's the Revital Center in Tongping. Mm-hmm. And we also have the service in Juba Teaching Hospital. So
okay.
whoever feel like he want to be taught how to take care of themselves mentally, we are ready.
Thank you so much, Dr. Atong. As we conclude this interview, please, in 30 seconds, give your last message for our listeners outside there who are joining the rest of the world to commemorate the World Mental Health Day.
Mental health issues is real. You can't be productive if you're not mentally well, be it a mother, be it a student, be it a father, be it a leader. So yourself matters. Give yourself 1 hour each week and take care of your mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And if you cannot make it yourself, reach out to Juba Teaching Hospital, the psychiatric department. We can teach you how to do it.
Right.
It doesn't cost anything. It's not even invasive. You can do it in your office, in your car, in your house, even in the washroom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Dr. Atong. Yes, Dr. Moses, your last message to our listeners.
Yeah, I just want to say that mental health is essential in rebuilding our lives and to cope, recover, and also rebuild societies. And integrating mental health strengthens emergency response. We should never forget it. And also we should invest in mental health and to ensure recovery of our societies, families, and economies. And mental health saves lives.
Okay. Dr. Atong Akol, Director of Mental Health Department at the National Minister of Health, thank you so much for joining us. Dr. Moses Mutebe from the World Health Organization, thank you so much for sharing these insights with us this morning.